It's a children's film with all the dialogue and set design of a full-on porno. We saw a talking cat, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Tall John Shear, and boy, oh boy, you know, very rarely do we do a movie like this. And I think this movie kind of trumps all the movies like this. It's so, I mean, it is next level, bad. It's Governor Gabby bad. And there's so much to unpack, though, in this. And I will tease it now and just say that the behind the scenes info is more disturbing than the film itself. If you want to know a little bit about this film, if you don't want to see it, and I suggest that you do, it's on Amazon Prime. It is about a talking cat, voiced by Eric Roberts. We'll get into how that sounds.
Wait,
in a second.
What?
Yeah. Wait, you didn't know that?
I had no idea that Eric... Wait, what?
Who's Eric Roberts?
Eric... Okay.
Julia Roberts' brother?
Eric Roberts... Yeah, Eric Roberts, you know...
Emma Roberts' father?
Wait, is that really? Is that true?
Is this a bit? Who is Eric Roberts? Somebody we went to the high school with?
No, like, Eric Roberts is an actor that you might know from being in things. He was in...
Yeah.
He's been in movies since the 80s.
You know? Okay. He's been in Dark Knight, The Expendables, Runaway Train, Star 80. You know, Google his face, you'll see him. Anyway.
You'll be like, he'll have shown up in something, some Hallmark movie you saw or something.
Okay.
Clearly, this man was captured and forced to record in a bathroom for maybe 6 minutes.
That explains so much.
It just gives me more questions.
I mean, he is billed on the poster of a talking cat as like with Eric Roberts. Anyway, I'll explain this and then introduce properly our two guests. We have a very special guest today. I hope you already could tell who it is by the sound of her voice. Talking Cat is about a talking cat who goes in and helps people's lives. I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to explore it anymore without introducing my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, boy. I'm sorry I came in so hot so early, but Paul... When you said Eric Roberts was the voice of the cat, I legitimately, I freaked out. Like, I can't, because I, as you said in your opening, I had slotted this into a Birdemic, Governor Gabby, like a hobbyist movie, like a Fateful Findings, The Room style, someone who has a house, has a cat, and rents a camera. You know, and that's it. And so to hear that Eric Roberts was involved, who is, let me be very clear, like a very legitimate movie star.
Been in a lot of stuff.
So I'm now, I have to recalibrate everything. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, I believe Eric Roberts might also be a listener of this podcast.
Oh, I believe you are right. He did tweet at us one time.
Did he tweet at us one time?
Well, you should be having him on and not me. I couldn't even figure out how to get my microphone.
We tried, but you know what? You're second best.
Well, here's what I'm gonna say about that. Eric Roberts bears no blame or no brunt of the many varied
neither
problems
of the
of this
bees. Movie. Neither blame nor blunt. neither David Blame or Emily Blunt.
Neither one of them, and Eric Roberts, he gets out scot-free, although I do want to talk about his recording. And speaking about problems recording, we have a very special guest. Filling in the co-host seat is our de facto, I don't know, family of the show. Our fifth Beatle. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair.
Hello. I do want to say I'm sorry.
What are you sorry for this time?
Well, the setup for this took 50 minutes.
Last time you were on the show for, what was it called? A Night Before Christmas? Which one was it?
A Night Before Christmas, the unreleased How Did This Get Made episode, because...
I didn't realize that my microphone wasn't plugged into anything.
Yeah, that was the problem there. But, you know, it became a very, that
it was a very memorable show. And it's now like a lost episode, which I love. People will never get to hear it.
I don't think I'll ever stop feeling bad about it, but not bad enough that I gave myself any time to prepare to plug into this show.
And no, we just spent 50 minutes watching you try and get this new microphone to work.
Three members of your household all came and helped.
Even my 7-year-old offered to throw her hat in the ring. And
let me be clear. Her podcast sounds great.
Yeah.
I listen to her podcast all the time. She's got her levels dialed in.
Her 7-year-old has an amazing podcast. Great setup. 3 screens, scarlet boxes, cloud lifters, lights, everything.
All
really.
The cloud lifters that money can buy. No, I mean, I do believe that appearing on this show will inevitably lead to a divorce from Dan, since I've stolen his computer. And also,
your husband is a famous poet, and
right.
he was working on his poetry, and
literally in the middle of a poem about a traumatic past, and I said, "I don't know how to plug in the task cam."
And you
to
stole.
Which he said, "Your emergency is not my problem." And then, so my marriage will dissolve, and might be two of my oldest friends, and I'm the fabric of our relationship is starting to go
tenuous,
threadbare,
tenuous at best.
Guys, I'm so excited that you're here. I'm so excited to talk about this movie. But Jess, I thought that there was something maybe it got you in a way when you heard the quality of Eric Roberts' recording, which seemed to me like they put an iPhone in front of his face and recorded him in an echoey bathroom. Like,
yes, that's what I wrote.
Yeah.
And it felt good to me. It felt like, okay, I'm not doing so bad. You know,
yeah, if Eric Roberts, if a high level actor who's been in great films can do it like this, maybe it's okay.
I like the woods. Always have. Don't get me wrong. I like to be indoors in a nice fluffy bed as much as anyone. In fact, more than anyone, probably. I've heard them say, it's the simple things we should appreciate most. And right now, it's the wind in the trees and the smells in the air. This place has magic. And people nowadays are way too concerned with their shiny, tiny beeping machines than they are with the simple joys of living. And sometimes, I'm compelled to come out of this place and do a little meditation, they call it, or communing with nature, or just letting the magic guide me. Because I help people, even if they don't know they need help. Because as I've discovered, people need all the help they can get.
But when you introed it, like saying it was like a porno, you're absolutely right.
Oh, it's all like I could think about. It's all I could think
the
about.
The design, I feel like our listeners, again, I will task the listeners. I feel like our listeners can go out there and find that house's appearance in pornos.
Jason, stop the presses. I got a lot of information. I got a lot of information here. And I was going to save it for the end, but why not?
Oh, please.
Tell you now.
Before we do, can I do something, Paul?
Yeah.
Devin, and we're going to leave this in for the rest of the episode. I would like Devin to put very annoying library music,
circus music
underneath the rest of the episode. From now on, I would like Devin for there to be a lot of like busy library music, whatever wall shitty music.
There is as much wall to wall music as there is wall to wall marble in this movie. I mean,
the sound, the music is like the instrumental version of the Frasier theme song.
Oh, it is.
Like,
it is.
There's a song with slide whistles and.
It's like a kaleidoscope. It's like a haunted circus.
It's overwhelming, the music that is present constantly.
And it doesn't match what's even going on screen. It's supposed to be like this, like. And it. At a certain point, it does take you out of scenes because you're like, that music's still fucking play. I had to stop the movie midway, and I was enjoying the brisk 120-minute run, but I was like, it was getting on my nerves. It was like, it was drilling into my brain.
The music is so big and so, you're right, like carnival and circus-like. It doesn't match with the mood or tone of the scene that it's just music dumped in because there's so little that happens happens in this movie. It's the movie is, for the most part, people alone talking to themselves.
Yes.
Or a cat that does or does not talk back to them. And oh or God. for the end of the movie, it is one 8-person scene after another.
I mean, with characters that don't know each other. Ultimately, yeah. I mean, here's the other thing. I will say this, Jessica, in the time it took for you to set up your audio setup, we could make a better version of this movie.
100%. Like
we could shoot it and edit it. This movie looks like it was edited on iMovie, but
I interrupted your info dump. What do you got? Because there's no way this house hasn't been in a porno.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know even where to even begin because okay. Yes, this movie was in the 2011 pornographic movie Jules Jordan Presents Ass Worship 13.
Whoa!
13!
It's a successful franchise.
It's worship, so it's a series of holy movies.
It's very body positive.
And everybody hold on to your dicks, because here's the other one.
You can watch this on a screen in your Hummer while you're getting an HJ at the playground parking lot.
It was also in the 2006 film Dirt Pipe Milkshakes.
I'm not even sure I understand that, but my guess is gross.
Ooh, my guess is very gross. And again, no kink shaming, but Dirt Pipe Milkshakes
Wow. Jessica, why did you just write that down?
That's also
I just saw you write that down and circle it and put a star on it.
I'm going to start a band full of 40-year-old moms called the Dirt Pipe Milkshake.
I mean, by the way,
how you guys doing with the Dirt Pipe Milkshake? I'm Jessica St. Clair.
We're here raising money for the PTA.
We need to make, this is the shirt, guys. Dirt Pipe Milkshakes. That's our shirt. We got it already. Because it feels like you could see it. It would look like maybe a band, and you wouldn't think about it. But then when you really think about it, it brings you down a dark hole.
It used to be a man with a straw going to somebody's butthole.
Oh, you went way worse than I did.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the butt has like a Friendly's logo on it.
It's like a fribble.
It's good. By the way, Dirt Pipe Fribbles.
What's a more offensive title for a porno? Fribble or Dirt Pipe Milkshakes? I feel like fribble brings to mind much more disgusting things.
You can fuck a fribble. It'd be hard to fuck a milkshake.
This movie, and I'll reveal some more about this director coming up. I don't want to give it all away now because I want to enjoy our reaction to this man who enters into the house, who is wearing a short, everything about this man does not say success. This is like a lower version of Willie Loman who is entering into this house.
Yeah. And I thought it was Rodney Dangerfield. No joke.
Oow, wow.
Dangerfield. So wait,
you thought it so much you had to ask it out loud?
I said, is that Rodney Dangerfield? And he just, a withering glance and out the door.
You know what?
To go someone in a parking lot.
He is a brave man.
America's hero.
Well, by the way, Dan, I feel like needs to get on the podcast at one point because I feel like he is a really, if you're the fifth member, he's going to be the sixth member of this whole thing.
So
we got to get him in here. When we meet this guy, you walk in and I think maybe the thought that we all have is like, wish fulfillment, like, wow, what it would be like to be a millionaire and live in a house this beautiful. I mean, what stunning architecture and choices of furniture. When he sits in a half open car couch
vroom, vroom, vroom. It's a mini cut in half, like an old British mini, cut in half and turned into a sofa.
Yeah, so flip the seats in a mini, and then he sits, it doesn't fit with the room, his son is in rolled up jean shorts, and at one point he's like, I'm going to redecorate the house, and the kid's like, didn't you pay a decorator? And at that point we need to go find that decorator and that person, them. Yeah,
well,
shoot
the weird,
them.
the piece that blows my mind, it's in the first shot, and it's a big piece of wood.
Yes.
And the wood is wearing red high-heeled boots. And I was like, oh, here we go.
Well, by the way, and then he looks at it and goes, what was I thinking buying this? By the way, we're watching.
You're right. He looks like a weathered, beaten down, door-to-door, like, fireplace salesman.
Yes.
And he literally looks like, but you then find out he is an enormous, successful,
giant tech entrepreneur.
Tech guy. Right? He made his money in computers.
In coding.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's it.
By the way, in coding, which is also like, I mean, here, he comes home to announce that he's just sold this business, which seems like, I mean, the fantasy that the movie would like to tell you that it is versus what the reality that they're living in is very different, because it feels like he's living in like a McMansion in Glendale, but they're treating him like he's Steve Jobs. He comes home and reveals this shocking information that he sold his business. So big, would that just be something that he mentions it like, oh yeah, and I got tuna sandwich for lunch today. Like, it was like you wouldn't just sell a major company in an afternoon. Like, there's no pomp and circumstance. It's sort of like, yeah, came home, sold the company.
Oh, and he comes home and his son is like so uninterested in him. And it's just the two of them. And there is no way that kid looks like he's his son. Like, there's nothing here that
they don't
adds
even
up.
Mention where the mother is in the sense of, oh, she died or she left me. We don't know anything. And the kids in this movie are fucking assholes.
They are. There's so much sadness in this movie. I really felt like I was watching like people come undone, you know,
and, oh,
and the deep unending loneliness, you know, of these families. Like, they all hate each other. Everybody hates each other.
Yes, and everyone turns on each other. It's like, it's so they're so quick to get angry with each other. And
the relationship between the mother and the twins is so fucked up. She wants to fuck her son, and he hates the sister, and the sister hates the mom. But it's like, every time they interact, I felt like I wanted to cry.
Oh, I mean, the sister and the brother's relationship also is on a level, like, I was like, what she was saying was so damning to him.
It was not abuse.
It was emotional abuse. She's like, you have no imagination. She was attacking him at his core.
Yeah. Oh, she like destroys him. And then she also makes cheese puffs and also creates a multi-million dollar
fashion website
tech enterprise.
I mean, I have screenshots. I have everything. I also
can I ask a question? Yeah. Is the woman who needs tutoring, is she related to those people too, the twins?
No, she is a friend of the coding twin.
Okay.
When the coding twin has that one of the many conversations, the one-sided phone conversations we see, where it goes on for 5 minutes of her just going, I know, I know, I know.
By the way, great acting exercise there.
There's that phone conversation, and there's the one where the guy calls his financial advisor.
Oh my God.
And he's like, hello, Mr. Financial Advisor. I'd like to make some investments. Okay. Invest. That amount.
I need to play both of these. All right. First, let's listen to a little bit of the I know, which it's so bold to do an entire phone conversation that's like, I would say maybe like 90 seconds where you don't hear the other person. You really have to do a lot of your own like context clues. Yeah.
And
the fact that we don't even know that they're friends. We don't even know that the girl who needs tutoring is friends with the twin. We're just assuming, I believe that girl is calling the twin. We don't know it. There's no connective tissue there. And meanwhile, this is a movie that has literally like 90 establishing shots. They never just showed you her on the phone.
Many of the establishing shots are the exact same shot of a stream, like a waterfall and a stream, and with the aggressive music playing.
And I think the seaside shots are from Costa Rica. We're spanning from like...
Lake
Tahoe to Costa Rica to the shores of, you know, who knows where.
I was saying, like, this movie is that the transition shots are home video, like the stuff that you fast forward to, like, you're like, oh yeah, we don't need all this. I shot it the day because I was loving that we were in Costa Rica, but I'm never going to look at like me, like looking at a waterfall again. All right. So this,
this is when the brother says, quit bothering mom about the business college.
All right. Here is just a little bit of the I know conversation.
I know. I know. Well, you know how Derek was. That's why you broke up with him. You want something different. Hey, I gave you that idea. I know.
And just because we were talking about it, and it just, you can't even do it justice. Like, this is our Steve Jobs character, the day after he's left work, calling his financial advisor for some advice.
Okay, so Mr. Financial Advisor, where do we start? Okay, hold on. Okay, so where should I invest? Wait, yeah, a toy company? Yeah, I read that book to Chris when he was a little. Yes, let's invest. No, I don't care. I've got a lucky cat. That's right, that much. I don't care. Right, take care of it. Thank you. Sounds good. I'll talk to you later. It's time for me to take a walk in the woods. I got a neighbor to meet. Yeah, I don't know. Gonna go see your neighbor. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Sorry, I just need to play those back-to-back because they are... I mean,
I would say if you add it up, there's probably 9 minutes of this... 9 to 12 minutes of this movie is one-sided phone calls.
Right.
They're right. So long and they give so little... They don't even give very much exposition.
Well,
like,
we don't
it's
even
not even
need to
a
know.
Tool to give story points. They're just like, uh-huh, no, I know, uh-huh, yeah, no, I know.
The financial advisor phone call has nothing to do with the movie at all. It's just an extra scene. It's like, I mean, there's so much going on. There's only two locations in this entire film. I mean, it's two different houses, like a nice cabin and then this shitty mansion. I'm going to say a shitty mansion because it's all marble, but when they do like a beauty shot of the pool, you see water damage, like full on water damage. And you sit there like watching, I would say at least for 15 seconds, just like a pool waterfall. And the angle is just capturing the mold. It's so like,
that's a lot of damage was done on Ass Worship 13. That's not water damage.
That's milkshake damage.
That's not even jizz. That's some dirt pipe milkshake right there.
Yeah, that's milkshake damage.
That's some.
Ooh, I'm so sorry, but there was milkshake all over this area. So this.
Wait,
this,
you guys running a dirt pipe milkshake in this place?
Oh, you shouldn't sit there. They just shot a milkshake movie last week. You could get pregnant sitting there.
You know what? Now I'm gonna Google dirt pipe milkshake.
I don't think you should. You will immediately be put on a list.
You know what was upsetting to me too was the spiral staircase and how many times we watched that sun run up and down it.
Did they not have microphones too?
They show travel for everybody. Everybody, no matter if they show everybody's full execution of like pulling up in the car, getting out, walking into the house. The guy, there's a part where the dad is looking for the son, and we just follow him looking around the house quietly for his son while the music just assaults our ears.
By the way, like, I will say that Bill Irwin takes some notes because the lead in this movie, when he is walking around, he is doing full on clown work. I mean, like, he is like, like when he almost gets run over by a car, which is not going fast at all, but they just gear up the sound effects.
This movie does a tremendous disservice to its actors because it refuses to let them be in scenes with other actors. So you are frequently having to watch someone execute a scene alone,
and so they
have have to talk to themselves or talk to themselves in a mirror or talk to themselves out loud, thinking about like how they would say something. You know, like it's a pointless exercise and looks it's awful. It's a tough place to put people.
I mean, I agree, but when they are together, it's no better.
I agree.
I mean, because here's the thing. When that girl comes over to get tutored in English, and here's the thing I want to just pull out. English? Like, I've seen many a film. People never need to get tutored in English. And then when she comes over, she is asking, basically she reveals, I don't know how to read.
Yeah.
Like that's, and so she is a high school girl who does, and it's not like.
But I think what we find out later is that she was using this as a ruse to get close to the kid who can't swim.
Like, oh, I didn't know that she had set this up.
Did she ever admit that she's she literally doesn't know how, or she just says, I'd prefer to watch TV? Or did she ever confess? Did I look away?
I think she knows how to read. I think she's being a little bit purposefully obtuse so that he will continue to tutor her. Because she's saying those things like, he was like, you know, well, I don't understand. You knew this yesterday about Hamlet. And she was like, I don't know. I guess I forgot. And she was like, Hamlet's about a guy who doesn't see the thing that's right in front of his face.
That was honestly the most poignant moment of the movie.
I mean, that's when the scripting really came to its peak at that point.
That's something I can hang on to. The rest of it, though, is just a continual setup for a porn.
I agree. It, like, all of these scenes, should lead to a sex scene in a porno.
Yes.
This is maybe the movie that is closest to a porno inside of which the sex scenes have been edited out.
People say that sometimes, but this is very true. But here's the thing that is confusing about the girl and the tutor, because I want to just set it up in a way that I get it. I get what we're watching here. And by the way, 90 more of these and less of the movie with the Velocipastor. I want to dig into this sort of stuff, because I feel like they were trying to do stuff here. But she comes over and she seems to be like, you're a nerd. Or at least on the phone, she's like, you're a nerd. Then she gets over there and she's like, I don't know how to read. And then it seems like she's manipulating him. Like, why don't you do the reading? Tell me what it's about and I'll go for a swim. She never is like, why don't we go in the pool together? Or why don't we read together? It seems to me like she's using him.
It's set up like, I'm going to have this guy just tell me what these books are about.
And I'm going to swim in his pool. But then later you find out that she's in love with him over that phone, the I know phone call. So it's like, I'm confused because...
Well, everybody's horny for that pool. Because the twin brother, when he gets an eyeball on that pool, he's like, can I get in that pool, bro?
You don't want to get in.
100% going to be a different type of porno.
That's what it felt
he's
like.
He's like, can you teach me how to swim? And
yes.
Oh, just guys. Like, yeah, I'll give you a dirt pipe milkshake.
By the way,
guys, I'm feeling really guilty right now because I know some information that will really shock you.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna throw it down.
Is this movie part of the dirt pipe milkshake
canon?
Well,
okay, let me give you some context. The director of this film, David Ducotier, also sometimes goes by the alias of Mary Crawford.
When
he's directing
by the law?
No. He has 168 directing credits. Doesn't use his real name often. Often uses women's names. And another one of his pseudonyms is Richard Chasen. And he is known as the king of homoerotic on-demand schlock. So basically...
Okay, like Cinemax style, like softcore, right?
Yes, but definitely with more of a... leans more to... the gay lifestyle, it seems to me.
Sure.
Okay. So he makes movies like The Wicked Stepbrother, actor/model, Boy Crazies, Haunted Frat, Nightmare Mansion, Giant
Haunted
Killer Bees. Yep. UFO Invasion, Bermuda Triangle, Billy the Kid, Hercules, Unbound, Night of the Widow, Frank and Queen. And you can Google those posters, but, you know, again, do it at your own risk. He has his own production company.
Google the posters?
There are posters.
By the way, if people are Googling these, I don't think they're looking for the posters, Paul.
He's made a lot of films, but it seems like what you're saying, Jess, and by the way, I did send you both a picture. We can talk about that picture later on text, just so you don't think I sent it to you in a weird way, because, there's something I want to break into in a little bit too. So that is his over in a way.
Yeah, okay, that adds up.
I'll tell you who I really liked. I liked the twin sister. I thought she was great.
Because I actually thought that of all the actors, she had promising
she was,
talent.
She was great.
She was great. I Googled her, and seems like she is still acting very politically and socially active, so... Awesome.
Wow. I'm so intrigued because why, you know, that she's doing this because I feel like her fashion app was about to take off.
Her fashion app, when they code together, when they code together, and he's like, oh, just like he's like,
code, code. Is that what he say? Scan, scan.
That's scan. What is that scanner? What scan. Is that thing?
It's
he's
a
got?
Book light.
It's an itty bitty book light. It's an itty bitty book light that you put above your bed.
It's a fucking book light, and they're touching the book light to the label in their clothes, and then the computer algorithm helps them get dressed in what is already their own clothing.
By the way, Brooklyn Decker literally created this. Like, what? Yeah, Brooklyn Decker created this amazing app where you basically catalog all your clothes in your closet, and it helps you put together, like, it helps you, like, kind of recycle your outfits.
I have an update. She stole it from this movie.
Wow.
We got to get Brooklyn Decker on here.
How dare you?
I was like, you know, it is a good, by the way, the idea is sound. Or I was actually thinking, this came out in 2013. I don't know if they stole it from her. I don't know if they, like, had this idea, and maybe. Maybe there's a lawsuit to be pending.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, like the way that he like does coding where there's like just ba 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 ba.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, like he's like, no one knows what coding is. I mean, and she has a laptop, the twin, that is the size of a box that you, if you went to like a department store and you said, oh, can I get a box for the sweater I bought? Like, that's the size of her computer. It's giant. I don't ever think it's a real computer either, because you never
see
the keys.
I want the audience to know, we are, how long have we been recording now?
We have been recording for about 30 minutes.
I don't know, because my microphone's not plugged into anything.
Oh, God. We've been recording for 30 minutes. We have not yet talked about the talking cat. That's what's shocking. What's so shocking is there's so much to talk about in this movie that we have not even yet spoken to.
We haven't scratched the surface, no pun intended.
How dare you?
How
dare you? Get out of here right meow.
By the way, we have not talked about the cat. We talked about it in the beginning. Yeah. Eric Roberts plays the cat. And
still blowing my mind.
Yes.
That information still blowing my
By
mind.
By the way, hard to understand if it's Eric Roberts, because again, like you heard in that clip, it's far away. It's almost layered in. I only can describe it like Photoshop. It's like the Eric Roberts voice is layered on top of, not into the fabric of the film.
Well, what it is it's like it's poorly ADR'd.
Yes.
You know, and the
iPhone.
Recording is itself poor. So like when you hear the voice of the cat, and it's further complicated by the fact that the rules for the talking cat change throughout the movie, and that first the cat talks, but nobody can hear the cat.
Well, the cat is having internal monologues, right? Like that's okay.
So the cat will be like, oh, this guy, he doesn't get it at all. I guess I gotta help him. And then the cat's name is Duffy. And the cat is like a magical cat that like is gonna help everybody fall in love. Or...
But by the way that this cat should work is that by being a cute cat, he brings people together. Like, that's what I thought. Like, oh, he'll run away, and then they'll go get him, and then they'll find themselves. No, the way the cat works is he corners people individually and then tells them a blunt piece of information to help forward the plot.
It's blunt, but also cryptic, because here's the thing. So the cat is around. It's nobody's cat.
Right.
But everybody thinks it's their cat then, or that they're going to adopt it. All the main
yes,
characters.
People are fine with a rogue cat
Meanwhile,
running through their house.
When the cat shows up at the twins' house, the twin brother says, is that a cat?
Oh.
And I was like, what? What do you mean, is that a cat? It's unquestionably a cat.
The cat also, one of the saddest
scenes. Like, that's not up for grabs.
One of the saddest scenes, I believe, and if I was in grad school for acting, I believe I would do this scene to audition, is between the daughter and the mother when she says, Mom, she's trying to share, Mom, this cat was talking to me. And
right.
The mom instead just keeps saying, isn't that a cute cat? And she keeps saying, don't you understand me? I'm hearing voices.
How about when she goes outside to the brother and says, nice try, man. That prank didn't work. A talking cat? You're going to have to do better than that. Wait, what? So what does she think? She thinks the brother created a talking animatronic cat?
Oh, I mean,
I would walk out and be like, you're a fucking genius.
Because
how did you do that?
When the cat talks, they do like the worst CGI ever to make it look like,
yeah,
my mouth is moving and I'm talking. And the cat's rule that we find out is he can talk to you only once. And I really feel like that cat blows the once, because one of the things he tells Tina, the female twin, is check your beeping device.
Yeah.
That's it. But she would have checked her computer. Beeping. There's nothing. Yeah, the computers don't beep. Computers are not a beeping device. Like, no one changed that. Like, what is a beeping? Like, I don't think of computers as a beeper, I guess, maybe. But, like, check your beeping device. That's what he tells her. But she would have done that. Wouldn't it be better to be like...
He says, please read your machine.
Read your machine.
Oh, read your machine.
And when she opens her computer... It just instantly opens a profile of our tech guru, Rodney Dangerfield.
So did he program the computer, the cat?
With his paw? Did he like take his paws and do that? Or is he magical so he can affect that?
The cat is somehow magical because the cat is also somehow the cat says to the guy, go for a walk. And talk to somebody. The cat understands the future, or the cat is laying the groundwork to bring all these people together. I don't know.
The cat is definitely magical because at the end he has orbs shooting out of him. I do want to read what the website says, because the website is even more confusing. The website, when it opens, says it's a website called, by the way, it's a PDF, Code Monkey
Can I
times.
Just, for yep. just very briefly, Paul, before you read this, because I do want you to read this. This scene of this girl reading the computer screen silently goes on for like 2.5 minutes.
Yes.
Cutting between her reading and the computer screen.
A slow
and
this scroll.
And it's a lot of text. And it's done poorly, too, because, again, it looks like it's supposed to be a website, but if you look at it and the way that Avril, thank God for Avril finding this movie, bringing it to our attention and getting these screenshots, we'll put this up online. It's just a PDF. So she's looking at a PDF. Okay. And it says codemonkeytimes.com. CodeMonkeyTimes all spaced out. You could never have a website like that. But anyway, this is codemonkeytimes.com. Top technology news. Lucrative sale to Globe Tech. Coding pioneer Phil Barber resolves to enjoy early retirement. Then there's like a picture of Phil Barber. There's no text. He's just standing there. And then it goes, Phil Barber, the coding pioneer who helped create the code for the Magnolia Group's family of websites.
Too much information.
To a multi-million dollar sale to Globe Tech, wants to learn to enjoy the simple things in life. I've spent half my life debugging and running up against deadlines, and now it's time to enjoy life and spend time with my son. And then it goes on. The final thing is, produce daily traffic logs by working rejected spots, assuring product separation and other possible log variances. Print and distribute daily log. Clear exceptions. Work in various traffic positions as needed. Don't know what that is.
There better be library music under everything that Paul just read. I'm not fucking around.
Everything.
I mean, that website, I don't even understand. We already know the information that he has sold this company. Like, it's as if the movie hasn't picked who the protagonist was. Like, we already were there.
My mom directed this movie. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's directed by someone who's never seen.
Wait, does your mom also direct a lot of homoerotic?
Possibly.
Let's get into this.
Ass Worship 13.
I don't know what she gets up to in her retirement.
By the way,
but seriously, but if you understand, like, you've been around movies a long time, I'm surprised that he doesn't have more knowledge with all of the credits he has.
What
makes a movie?
Look, he understood establishing shots because we have 60 of them. But but this cat is also
60 establishing shots of two locations.
Yes.
Again, we don't need establishing shots when we're back in the houses we've already been in. We know these locations.
There's also a thing here where the cat is a little lascivious to the young teenager, because she is in high school, the one who needs help reading, right? I like what you have. Like, he says something to her, but then the cat says this line, and I wrote it down. This is probably the best line in the movie, in my opinion. There's nothing better than a cat nap. That's why they call it that.
Yep.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean?
Well, that's not the thing. It's not like... Like, you can't say that's why they call it that, because a catnap isn't like, it's not like called like the grand sleep or the best sleep. Like,
or is he saying you have to make another leap? They're asking you to make so many leaps in this movie to say cats are the best, and that's why they call it the catnap, which would mean it's the best nap.
Oh, wow. I was thinking more like it was just a turn of phrase that he's trying to do. It's like, I'm trying to even think of like a good like wording that would go together, where, because it would be like, you know, they call it the blank because it is like, it needs to be the same thing.
I think it's just clumsy writing.
Yeah,
I think
right.
It's just like, it sounds like a turn of a phrase, but is in fact not.
And that's what I love about it, is like, no one goes, oh, that doesn't make sense. Eric Roberts, who I do have information, recorded this in less than 15 minutes in his living room. So that means that there is some connection here. They're like, can we come over? They definitely gave him a bag of money.
Maybe, or he's doing a favor for somebody.
There's a bag of money dropped at Eric Roberts' house, or a DoorDash delivery person came over to his house. Right. And interrogated him very interestingly to get out this.
Or like, they have something on him. They're like, right. Eric, we have the things you made. Like, you Eric, got those released.
Do you want to get on the set of Frankenstein Unbound? Then
you're going to have to pay up with your voice.
And this cat with the, when the cat's drinking, cat go,
This does actually explain why Eric Roberts has a voice part in Dirt Pipe Milkshake 3.
I'm a straw. Disgusting things.
You gotta suck it through the straw. Yeah. That's why they call it that.
And by the way, he does use the same voice as this.
Did someone mention my name? never mind.
So you like that, Duffy, huh? Mm.
That same that is definitely the same the sounds the straw makes in Dirt Pipe Milkshakes.
Oh my god! I wrote down, I never want to hear a grown man make a lapping of milk sound.
The wet mouth sounds in that scene were upsetting. I was like, what are you? This is what he's doing.
Nope.
I was like, ew, I don't want this.
By the way, his shirt? I thought I was going blind because I couldn't quite make out the logo on the shirt.
Oh, I didn't. I gave up. What was it?
All right. So Molly helped me with this, but also Nate, Kylie also. It should say one damn day at a time, but Molly also had another reading of it as well. But it was a hard shirt to read. Right, the other reading of it was this. Because pinche, as in un pinche de la vez, can translate to damn. So the dad's t-shirt could also be one damn day at a time. But depending on the inflection, it could also mean lousy, or more popularly, fucking. So I think it's one fucking day at a time. So I feel like one fucking day at a time is more in line with this movie.
Which is a reference to the director's porn version of the TV show One Day at a Time.
Which he directed under the name Mary Crawford.
Yes.
By the way, I do like that he's adopted all these. Like, I just love when Nate sent me the research. He often doesn't use his real name. Just often doesn't use it.
That's amazing. Here's what I want to say. Can we put a clip in here?
Yeah.
For the song when they're scanning the clothes, put it in here because it has both slide whistle and car horn beep beeps in it.
Scan in.
Yep.
Scan in.
Yep.
Scan in. Scan in.
Yep.
So they're like going like scan, scan, and it's like beep, beep, meep, meep, beep, 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 boop, boop, whoop, whoop. That's the level of music. There's slide whistle and car horns in one song.
Can I ask this question? Have these actors acted before this film? Because I also wondered at one point if they were all a family. Actually,
well, the dad is actually very famous, like a veteran character actor. The dad is. I'll tell you his credits. I liked
the scene when the young son was in the pool and he's scared that he doesn't know how to swim and he's worried about pool sharks.
Pool sharks. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I mean, this movie is the sense of humor on this movie is off the charts. I do believe, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but the fact that they never mention what happened to the mother is
he said something very strange. Like he says it's awkward. She left me with him.
Yeah.
And then said it's awkward. And I don't know.
When he and the mom of the twins meet, she is like, oh, I'm not married. And he's like, oh, I'm not either. I have a son, but his mom left him with me, and it's awkward.
It's like, you don't say the mom left me. I understand left us, but left him with me means like, are you even the dad? Like,
guys. I went looking for credits, and I just found out there is a sequel to this movie called A Talking Pony.
What?
And, yes. A Talking Pony, the dad and, okay, a lot of the characters have reunited for Talking Pony.
I'm not watching this movie. So
this is like this generation's Look Who's Talking.
Wow. A Talking Pony. What is, all right, the Talking Pony says, since her father died, 16-year-old Juliet and her stepmom and two stepbrothers struggle financially to keep their ranch. It's the same kitchen, but Juliet has a secret that can keep the ranch open. Her horse, Horatio, can talk, and Horatio is played by the dad. The horse can talk. So they're using the same locations. Oh, my God.
You're blowing my mind. This is just because they must own these properties.
They have to.
This is just like use what you've got type film.
But who is funding this film? And are people buying it? And how does it get on?
A million dollar budget this had.
But, yeah.
So whose money is that? And have they made it back? How do you make it back? Can anyone put their movie on Amazon Prime?
Here's what I'll say. Yeah, I mean, no, you can, not anybody can. So somebody bought this movie and somehow probably some sort of library was licensed to Amazon, inclusive of probably a bunch of low budget type movies.
Yeah.
It would be my guess, you know?
Well, look, I mean,
I would say my guess is absolutely they made their money back.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, like,
I bet just from our viewership alone, they will make money off of this.
Are we the dummies then? I mean, here we are. You know, you're recording out of your closet, Jason, and these guys are out there making movie after movie.
I mean, there we go. Like, look, by the way,
they're just like, what animal can we rent next so it can talk?
By the way, the cat did not seem that cooperative either. Oh, by the way, I am looking at their credits. The mom was in Meatballs. As a kid actor, she's also in a movie with Jackie Chan. The dad, he has been in a lot. He's like a veteran character actor. The kids, not so much. The kids are they're all kind
of
new.
Beginning of their careers.
Yes. The cat talks to each of them, and none of them, aside from a momentary like, wait a minute, are you talking? They all then instantly slip effortlessly into, I'm just now having a conversation with a talking cat, and they don't question it at all afterwards.
I mean, you hear those types of voices, and I want to say this to your listeners because I know some of them are really on the edge, and we all are in this pandemic. If you start to hear voices of an animal or a tree or something, go seek psychiatric help immediately.
Unless they're telling you something good. Unless they are telling you.
Here's what I'll say. You know, if a cat wandered into my house and started talking to me, mm-hmm, I would grab the available hammer, machete, or hatchet that is in that room hidden, and I would kill that cat immediately. I would think this is up
to
no good.
But Jason, what if they were trying to have you have a meet cute?
You know what? I don't want to meet whoever this cat thinks I should meet.
Well, you won't even take my advice about who you should go on dates with.
Here's what I'll say. I'm not looking to be fixed up by a fucking cat voiced by Eric Roberts.
By the way,
you know what?
if you were a fan of Star 80 and all of a sudden a cat started talking to you, maybe you would listen for a second. But there is...
I'm a hard pass. Eric Roberts as a cat, I will not take your dating advice.
I do feel like this movie does have a big...
Now listen, if Treat Williams voices a cat, I will listen to that cat.
Look, I mean, you love Dead Heat as much as I do. Joe Piscopo, Treat Williams together. But I feel like there is an element where these actors are trying to figure out how shocked to be, and also how to move the scene forward. And you before just said something that I really want to call out. When the mom was not really paying attention to the daughter talking about the talking cat.
So sad. We've all been there. It's so sad.
I want to just call out how great the mom is, because when the dad knocks over the cheese puffs and there's a whole bunch of high drama going on, she is in the cheese puffs are wrecked moment. Like she is just watch her. She's
pissed off for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't even understand what goes on with her.
Let me ask you this. So the mom, they drop the cheese puffs.
Sure.
The mom, then the daughter goes with Phil to make cheese puffs in his house.
Right.
But she doesn't, she makes replacement cheese puffs, but doesn't get them to her mom?
No.
I didn't understand that.
She was going to go do that. Or I thought at one point she was like, here, you bring them over, dad. You bring them over to my mom so you can make it up to her.
I couldn't understand it because at a certain point, I understand the mom's plight. She's trying to get a new job for her catering business.
Right.
She's trying to hustle a new lucrative contract. And both of her children have fled to the wealthy guy's house, one to like hang out and talk coding and one to give swimming lessons. Meanwhile, she has to go to the investor meeting alone without cheese puffs. And guess what? She doesn't land the account.
But
she's fucked.
Wait, you mean that Susan's Country Catering?
Which we have a close-up. Why do we do an extreme close-up on our name tag?
There's an insert of the name tag. SPCC, guys. Here's the thing I want to bring up, because we don't have a ton of time left, and I think we need to talk
please.
For at least an hour about the tiny bow tie that the girl is wearing as a necklace.
Wait. What?
Wait, what?
She's wearing...
Did you not notice that the woman who's being tutored, the girl who's being tutored, right? She, through the end of the movie, she is wearing a bow tie necklace. At first I was like, wait a minute, is she wearing a bow tie? Then I was like, wait a minute, did she just, because the bow tie is low, it's like in her sternum area. I was like, wait, did they just stick a bow tie on her sternum?
Well, what's and weird too is, like, did she have it in the pool? Because she hops out of the pool, right?
She hops out of the pool, yes. But then I was like, no, it's a bow tie as a necklace, but she's wearing it over like a tank top.
So she took the time to get out of the pool, put her clothes on, then apply, and then fix it.
I'm looking at it.
Necklace.
I assumed it was a neck. You know what? There was so much going on in that final scene when they're getting a leash.
This is where, no offense to both of you who I love, this is where I really miss June. June would have really come in with red hot takes on this bow tie necklace.
I am looking at the bow tie necklace looks like it is not. There's no necklace. It looks like the bow tie is levitating
above
her.
That's why I was like, is it glued to her sternum? I was like, what is this? What is
it? It seems to match the dress. It seems to match the dress, which I appreciate. But I need to get into this now. I am looking at this right now.
The bow tie necklace, I was consumed by the bow tie necklace. I wrote so many notes. She's wearing a tiny bow tie. What is the tiny bow tie? I kept writing it because I was like, I need to make sense of what I'm looking at because it's so jarring. There's just a floating bow tie in the middle of her chest. And I was like, I don't understand what this is supposed to be.
I feel like you need to take this bow tie conversation offline with June. Quite frankly.
I'm going to take it to June and it'll be available on my OnlyFans.
But here's the thing. Maybe that is wear, like, that's something that you would wear in dirt pipe milkshakes because you don't have a full outfit. So it's sort of like, I wanna get dressed up, but I don't have the, you know, I can't be wearing the clothes for it.
Yeah, but I can at least be wearing a tiny bow tie that sits, again, the bow tie wouldn't sit, a bow tie wouldn't sit low. A bow tie is a necktie.
Right.
It's around your neck. It doesn't hang like mid sternum.
I mean, I'm looking at it now. You're right. I mean, look, there are so many things to look at here. The cat with the bandage on its head.
Oh, the cat with bandage. Like,
and I would love to see Eric Roberts just be like,
by the way, like,
hurt cat.
Who bandaged this cat? And it looks like there's nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with this cat who is hit by a speeding car. The cat is fine. There's nothing wrong with the cat besides that he has a hastily wrapped bandage around its head, because you know that cat would not let anyone wrap anything around its head.
Oh yeah, the cat was like, "Fuck
and
you!"
Tail, I didn't. I auditioned. Tail is like happily waving.
Oh yeah,
it's like the happiest, almost dead cat I've ever seen.
By the way, the cat is never in a scene with a human being. The cat is always shot singles, like a newborn baby in a movie.
Jessica knows all about the cat's coverage. She has a shot list.
Oh my God.
For shooting the cat.
Guys, I really did think, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm judging these people, but at the same time, I pay so little attention to where the cameras are and how any of this movie magic works that if I was forced to shoot something, I bet it would look worse than this. Like, yeah. I possibly would think,
I mean, listen,
that that's how you shoot it.
We've lived through you attempting to make an audio podcast. I can't imagine.
Can you imagine?
And the complexity of that has undone you. I can't imagine if you tried to do something that was also visual.
Yeah, like I'd be like, no, you have to show all of him walking up that entire spiral staircase, or else we won't know where he goes.
How are people going to know how he got from his car to the inside of the house?
I need to hear the squeaking of those sneakers in that echoey house. I do want to talk about the epilogue, because the epilogue is, it gave up in the middle of the epilogue. It's like, first of all, one of the most uncomfortable scenes for me personally was seeing the mom pat the belly of the man.
Yes.
Twice.
Yes. Yes.
Like he's eating, they're eating cheese puffs on the porch and she pats
and then she just pats it.
Mm-hmm. It was not. Yeah. I didn't like it. I felt like that was an actor choice. It wasn't necessarily approved.
Oh, see, I felt like the director off camera was like, "Do something sweet, like pat his stomach."
And then afterwards, he's like, "Hey, it wasn't a big deal, but like, if you could just like not touch my midsection again, I'd be like a little sensitive about it."
I like there was something also like it also triggers something from my past, which I know
that.
It's a late,
had that
late,
feeling before
late in the game to bring it, bring this up. But I will say quickly that my mom and her, her husband, my stepdad, they used to do something when I was a kid. Okay. He had a little bit of a belly and she used to put like her hand on his belly and shake it. And I just remember her going, "It must be jelly, cause jam don't shake like that." Like, and I was like,
what? What are you talking about?
I remember that and being so creeped out by it. Like, must be Jellico's jam. Don't shake like that.
That's the t-shirt. What are you talking about? That's the t-shirt. It must. How did you withheld this for so? It must be jelly because jam don't shake like that. That's what your mom used to say while jiggling your stepdad's belly.
Yeah. Paul, do you feel like this podcast is a form of trauma therapy to you?
You know, I
unearth these dark because the things you bring to us are so incredibly bleak.
It's like
I know.
It's harrowing. It's Dickensian.
I think what is so interesting about it is, as I've been thinking about it a lot lately, these are things that would never necessarily come up in a conversation, but because these movies go to all these weird places, like, I'm like, okay, where am I going to see a belly touch that would make me uncomfortable? Okay, now that, like, I can't bring that up. Like, that's not thinking, like, that's not at the forefront of my mind, but then when I see it, I go, oh, right.
Do you think that's why you, subconsciously, that's why you started this podcast?
To get it all out?
Just to really.
Yeah.
Get down
you're
deep.
Like, over the next 10 years, I'm going to do a lot of personal work on myself, excavating through these movies as a jumping off point.
Remember
to,
when you said that a ghost like used to have sleepovers outside your parents' room and
that
appeared to you?
I saw
these are
ghosts.
Stories that now I have to live with. I have to carry your memories, Paul.
Oh
and
my
all
gosh,
Jason.
Thank God I forget everything.
I've been trying to like, well, whatever. We're all getting through it together, and you all are my therapist. I will tell you this, that like that scene upset me. And then they kind of set them up. Like they fall in love. The coding company goes great. And these other two, whatever.
They're figuring it out.
Why wouldn't you give me the end? Give me the end.
Such a long sequence of the two of them swimming, of Thomas Middleditch's second cousin and the tutor swimming. Yeah. And she doesn't get her hair wet. I just noticed. It was just like, it was as if maybe she had an audition later that day for something else and she just didn't want to get fully wet. But they just sort of, and at one point he goes cannonball, but they don't do a cannonball. No.
They don't do a cannonball.
And so it's very strange.
It literally is like the script, and I don't mean this to be offensive. I hope it doesn't come across like that, but it's written at, and I know it's not, so that's why I can say it. It's written like the assignment for an ESL class was, hey, everybody, why don't you learn English by writing a movie script? And then they took this and they took the two best ones. It's a talking horse and it's a talking dog, and they made them into feature films.
Yeah.
Wait, there's a talking dog too?
Oh, sorry, cat and dog, cat and horse. Sorry,
because I thought maybe there was a third one.
By the way, I don't put it past.
We're gonna have to do them all.
So obviously, we have a lot to say about this film, but there are people out there with some different opinions. It is now time for second opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me what. Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
All right, thank you, John Lajoie. All right, here we go. Second opinions. These are hard to come by because, you know, this movie, you'd have to be, you know, you're not gonna, you're making jokes on here, right? So there are 54% are 5-star reviews. There are 23% that are 1-star. So, you know, Nate says that he feels like all these reviews are by the same person, but there's two that I like. And this one's written by Anana Mouse. Anana Mouse writes, I don't understand the negative reviews. This is a fun little movie. I mean, I can tell it wasn't high budget, but who cares? I was really charmed by the dad. I mean, played by veteran character actor Johnny Whitaker, who in real life speaks several languages. Smart guy. I'm usually cynical, but something doesn't have to be dipped in gold to impress me. After decades of being around pretentious people, I developed a like for positive vibes, caring, and consideration. I think this movie conveys that. It also feels like, and that's 5 stars right there, title, A Little Fun Movie. I think that was written by Johnny Whitaker's family.
Sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
He speaks several languages. He's dropped that in. And this is the one that I offer up to the group. Not us, but our listeners. By valued customer. This is written in 2016. They write, genuinely great film, but there are a multitude of hidden adult jokes you should watch without the kids first before letting them see it. 5 stars. Like, are there hidden adult jokes in here? And what would be unacceptable?
I mean, like,
to children?
I think there's a couple of like asides, like the cat talking about like people
high school girl. Or
people being hot for each other, and it's like very, it's still very PG-13.
It's very PG. And then this is a final review that I can't quite tell if it's real or not. Nate and I believe it might be real, but I'll read it. As in most Crawford's films, the romantic relationship is led by a strong central female character, and that is at the heart of A Talking Cat. While the action and special effects are what draw in equal numbers of women and men, it's safe to say that many young teenage girls couldn't give a hoot about a cat that talks, whereas some guys will be counting the minutes until someone gets hurt. But that's the magic of A Talking Cat. Some can gloss right over the romance and focus on the action, while others can concentrate on the swoon-worthy love story, and the rest can sit back and enjoy it all, even if they pretend to not later. In conclusion, if you're looking for an Oscar film to watch with intellectuals, look no further. Well, that I feel like makes it a joke, but the title is A Film for Intellectuals, 5 stars, written by Lysander Gainsborough, from the Eyewitness Inquirer. So I guess Lysander will write his reviews in the paper and then bring them to Amazon as well.
How are we not to believe that these are all that director, since he goes by so many students?
By the way, amen. Amen to that.
Nothing is real.
Do we not cover anything that anyone wants to call out? I don't want to wrap us up before it's too, you know, before the, you know, we've all been
did
on.
Did I talk about the tiny bow tie?
Ugh. Yes. Thank God. Yes. I would
take
a trash can fire over this any day.
Really? This is what I long for. Like, Avril, since I don't know what it has been, she always is amazing at picking our films, but lately she has been on a tear of some truly fantastically, like, we're getting into some nitty gritty areas we have not gotten into. And I'm like, I'm all in on this because it's not like there is an earnestness in it too, or it's sort of like we're shooting four porn films and we need to like balance it out, so we're also going to shoot these two talking animal movies. I don't know what's going on, but I love it.
Yeah, it feels like, oh well, we've got that house, we still have that house for another 3 days, so yeah, let's just shoot another movie in it.
Yeah,
because we just shot 13 pornos in it, so why don't we just quick shoot a movie?
Like, the pornos shoot at night and this shoots during the day. It's like, yeah, they wrap out.
There is something really very special about that. I agree. But when I talk about how sick it makes me feel,
right,
I feel less sick when watching a dystopic future movie than I do this. This made me feel really, really sick.
What would you prefer, watching my mom jiggle my stepdad's belly and say, I must be jelly because jam don't shake like that, or this film?
I watched this film 100 times before I watched your mother do any of that. I don't want, if somebody in the offered me like a drive, one of these drives you guys are talking about that had downloaded all of your memories.
Yeah.
And they said your childhood memories.
We're talking about this?
Yeah. And they said, listen,
when?
We're going to give you $1 billion if you would sit down and watch all of Paul's childhood memories.
You can't handle it.
I wouldn't do it. Because my heart would break and I was go mentally insane.
I was writing something the other day. I was writing something about this, one of my memories. And I had to like sometimes couch it in a way where I'm like, I don't want you to go too dark by reading it. Like, I don't want, I'm creating something on the level of Angela's Ashes over here.
But set in Long Island. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I gotta find ways to bring you out of the darkness. Cause if I say it too quickly, people are like, what? So that's the problem there. I would recommend this movie. Jess, you don't recommend it. You don't want to recommend it. Jason?
I don't want to recommend it.
Here's what I'll say. I think absolutely give it a try. But when you feel like, oh, okay, I've seen enough, I can't keep going, feel free to duck out, because this, even though it was only like not even an hour and a half long, it felt like it was three. I stopped it repeatedly thinking, I'm almost at the end, right?
I
was only like 20 minutes in.
I stopped thinking,
this must be not, I saw 20 minutes and I thought I must be 20 minutes from the end, but it was actually, I'd only watched 20.
I stopped at 20 minutes for a good 40 or 50 minutes and then came back to it. But the first 20, I was like, oh, if it ended at that first 20, I think I would have been really thrilled.
I would like Devin to also right now play the scene where they're talking about Hamlet and the saxophone is going crazy.
Oh,
just again, I really want to, for people that aren't going to watch this movie, I want people to understand how intrusive the music.
Yeah, the music is upsetting.
It's aggressive.
So Hamlet is a story about what?
A guy named Hamlet who likes Sam.
It's better that he's not bad, but there's a little bit more to it than that. Seemed to know more yesterday, though.
I know. But it's just so hot. Do you think we could go swimming? Please?
I don't think we should go swimming. I mean, you can go swimming. It's fine.
Well, don't you want to swim with me?
Yeah. I'd love to, but I just don't think we should break client tutor privileges. By which, of course, I mean not to have any privileges.
Okay. It's okay. I understand. I don't want you to freak out.
And I also feel like people are in such a tenuous mental state right now with how the pandemic has gone on for so long. I do want there to be a trigger warning that if you feel like you are losing it a little bit, this movie could push you over the edge.
Yeah, yes. I mean that.
You might
like. There are people that during this very difficult time think that their cat is talking to them with the voice of Eric Roberts.
That's right.
And those people need to be aware that we're going to be talking about that a lot. And if you watch this movie, you're going to see it a lot.
Yeah, that is true. And look,
That's a reverse trigger warning.
We're giving you all the info here, Jess. It was such a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
We love having you. MVP of all time. Anything you want to tell people about? I know you have a new podcast coming up. Is that ready for discussion?
It's going to be end of April. Yeah, maybe the third week of April. June and I have a podcast called The Deep Dive that we are so excited about. So that's going to be coming to you hot and fresh. And maybe we'll even let you guys come on separately. Paul, to be honest with you, I think your deep dive would skew too sad.
Okay.
And Jason, I don't know if you'd let us in on any.
No, Jason's
details.
Not going to let. Jason's so not going to let you in on a deep dive. What are you talking about?
Neither of you are invited.
say this: I know a little bit about something. I'm not going to reveal what it is, but you're going to be blown away by the artwork going to produce that. It is going to be a world famous artist. It's going to be pretty fucking awesome.
A world famous artist we have engaged with her to do our cover art, and it will be our life's greatest work. It is
truly epic in many ways.
I love it.
All right. So, Jason, anything?
So, a couple of things. Close Enough Season 2 on HBO Max, the animated J.G. Quintel show.
Really funny show.
Really funny. Great show. Hilarious animated show.
Wait, is that the show we did with you, Jason?
Yes, you did one. You might have even done more than one.
Oh, okay.
So they've put out one season, and season two is coming out. And on Amazon Prime in March, the new animated show Invincible,
which is the
adaptation of the Robert Kirkman comic Invincible, is a one-hour animated show with an incredible cast, really fun superhero animated show.
That's amazing. I love Robert Kirkman, and that cast is amazing. I'm going to briefly plug that I'm in a movie coming out on March 17th called Happily with Joel McHale, Carrie Bechet.
Oh, I just watched that trailer.
Oh, yeah. It's super
fun.
Looks great. It's got everybody that you like, I think, is in this movie, like Kirby Howell Baptiste, Shannon Woodward, John Daly, Stephen Root. It's a Charlene Yee, a crazy, crazy great cast. And check out the trailer right now. And it's in theaters and on VOD. I don't know what theaters means, but it's definitely on VODs on March 17th.
And you're encouraging everybody to go to the theater.
Yeah, go to
get a crowded theater together.
Get in there.
Have fun.
Share some snacks.
You know what? You don't need a vaccine to laugh, people. That's what I always tell. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. A big thank you to, I'm going to say a big, big thank you today to Devin and Cody. Devin, Brian, our sound engineer, and
God
Cody,
bless.
Our producer, for getting this actually recorded. We don't know if it actually recorded.
We don't know. That's live theater for you. We hope that it recorded,
but we feel like
we're not trying to make live theater.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's not what we're trying
that
to
is,
do.
Yeah,
who knows?
That, okay, well, there we go. And Molly Reynolds for getting her hands very dirty in Dirt Pipe Milkshakes and Ass Worship 13. Thank you, Molly. A big tip of the hat to our producer, Avril, who pulls all of our films, our researcher, Nate Kiley, our amazing people who pull together all of our graphics, the ghost of Craig T. Nelson on Instagram, and of course, Kyle Waldron, July Diaz, who listens through, makes sure that the show is in tip-top shape and cuts out all the stuff. By the way, we did cut out stuff in this episode because we can't be trusted, and that's what July does, and we appreciate July every step of the way. If you like this show, please rate and review it. It does help. And if you want to hear all of our episodes commercial-free, even this one, you can sign up for Stitcher Premium and use the offer code BONKERS. That's BONKERS. We will see you next week on the mini episode, and you can give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAULASK to tell us about maybe the adult jokes that we missed or any other disturbing details about this director and this film or the Instagram accounts of its stars. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
It must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that.
That's the new Earwolf outro instead of Earwolf.
That's our tag.
That's amazing.